seminary, married and started their families, and began their call in serving the church. And there were a whole slew of them in Wheeling Presbytery. Now, I've got to tell you, I was not really the ideal anything in Sunday school. And I've told you before about meeting Mrs. Carlson, who had been my Sunday school teacher. And she was the wife of the president of the Wellsburg National Bank, where I had my savings account from a very early age. But Mrs. Carlson, widowed, lived over near Vero Beach, and she was one of my appointments with the Presbyterian Foundation about a gift to the church. And when I came into the house, she said, "Dickie Huggins, I always thought I'd see your face in the post office." Connie Steinbrenner didn't think that. And in fact, when he came to the Wellsburg Church, we were in pretty dire straits. We'd had a pastor for 11 years. And Dr. Henry wasn't a bad pastor. He was just a dud. And I always liked him, but he tolerated me and I tolerated him, even though at times Bill Simpson and I were asked to leave church because we started laughing in the back. That's what the back of the church always is. That's where you laugh. I don't throw you out, though. I make you take another offering. Connie came to the church, and one of the first things that we did was really we gutted the inside of the sanctuary. The pews, admittedly, were falling apart. And the carpet, which had been through a number of floods since we were only a block from the Ohio River, were dried out and kind of ugly. Remember the old ugly purple multicolored mess that used to be in churches? Anyway, and we smelled like mud. Connie said, "We need to clean up for the Lord." And boy, oh boy, we did. We got new pews. We painted the interior of the sanctuary very much like this. Everything was bright and beautiful, and boy, were we on top of it. That summer, the church conference was at Bethany College nearby. And my neighbor lady, Mrs. Wilson, God love her, had been trying to get me to go to church camp since I was too young to think about. But I didn't want to go into that stuff. And she says, "I'll pay for you to go to church conference." Well, I'd broken up with Joy. And someone said there are a lot of girls at church camp. I thought that was spiritual incentive. So I went to church camp, and some of those young ministers were in charge of the conference. And boy, like a sounding board, I just suddenly was aware that faith was more than just a word. Anyway, I came home and talked to the new pastor, Connie Steinbrenner, and he said, "God might be calling you to the ministry. Now you need to listen." And from that time forward, really, Connie was my one single powerful inspiration. He was with me through high school. He preached our baccalaureate sermon. He was with me through college. He was with me in many ways. Always encouraging, never discouraging. Always a very good, strong witness for Jesus Christ in such a wonderful way. And it helped me to grow and to change. My senior year of college, fall of 1959, he announced to the congregation that he was leaving. It was like a funeral note around Wellsburg, because he'd been there close to 10 years. Close to 10. And Joy and I had planned our wedding for June the next year. And he said, "I'll be back." Well, he was. He came back from Erie, Pennsylvania, and did our wedding. I remained close to him and his wife, Luann, over all the years until his passing 3 years ago. And we stayed close. Connie Steinbrenner was one of those remarkable pastors that just stays with you. And he was also a pretty good preacher. I have to tell you that. But all the people I've been talking about are preachers. And he is the homeboy that really influenced me probably the most to continue studying and following a call to the ministry. Now, almost 54 years later, I think he was right. I know I was. How's that? Bragging rights. Open your Bibles. This is called Everybody's Scripture. Everybody's Scripture. John 3:16. "And for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he's done has been done through God." Amen. I told you before we read it that this is everybody's text. This is the favorite, I think, for Christians around the world. Not just where we are right now, but around the world. And this is because it's the very heart of the gospel, and it's very simply the heart, because it tells us what the initiative is all about, the initiative of God. And it tells us the mainspring of God's whole being and relationship with us is based on what? Love. Here's the center of Connie Steinbrenner's life and witness, and why it was infectious for me in my call to the ministry. Because he was not just the guy in the black robe standing in front of the church, but he was also a friend, and he was also a witness for what Christ can do and be in one's life if you let it. And that was why he became so much of an influence on me and the idea of ministry. He loved people. And despite differences in theology, differences in politics, differences in attitudes toward life, he loved you, because that's what Jesus expected, to love you the way you are. That was a remarkable thing in Wellsburg at that time, Because as he expressed the love of Christ, people then began to love not only him, but the love that he expressed in Christ. I'm reminded of this thought from St. Augustine. God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. What a beautiful thought. When we confront someone like this, we become a better person. That's exactly what Connie Steinbrenner became, not only for me, but for a host of people in that community who still talk very lovingly about him. A few weeks ago, I had some of my classmates from high school who were living in Florida. They visited with us in Lakeland, and we sat around and chatted in the afternoon, and we talked about all kinds of things, and do you remember when, and some of the things I wanted to forget, but that's all right. But almost to a person, and there was only one other person in that room out of the 10. Besides me, who knew Connie Steinbrenner? And yet everyone talked about them. And they remembered his baccalaureate sermon. I didn't. You know what preachers say. You hear one sermon, you've heard them all. But we talked about him and his influence and how it influenced our community. You know, we take people for granted, don't we? We go into an art museum and we see a great masterpiece of art. And we hear someone say, "Now, that's ugly. It doesn't make sense to me." And that's not a judgment really on the art. It's a judgment on taste, isn't it? We take them to hear a great preacher, and they say, "Well, I didn't get much out of that sermon. Probably because I didn't put anything into it, or I didn't really want to listen. My mind was on other things." But that's the way it goes, doesn't it? We give them a great book to read and they think, "Oh, it's too big, it's too thick, and I'll read the last chapter and that'll tell me everything." We look at a beautiful sunset and we think, "Well, that's a nice sunset, but I've seen better." They find no thrill in anything. And they have a blind spot on their soul, regardless of what we're talking about. You know, when this occurs, we become really disheartened. It was like our scripture that I said has become the popular scripture for almost every Christian. God sent Jesus in love for our salvation and to change our indifference into the joy of God's love, like Augustine said, as if we were one in God's eyes. When mankind chose darkness instead of light, we are doomed. When we go on the negative and we stay in the negative, it's a fearful thing for us, for our families, for our world. Connie showed me the new light of Christ, as did those other young pastors who came at the same time. But he, in a different way, that we could stand and grow in the light of Christ, as imperfect sinners as we are, because we're that way as human beings. Not one of us is perfect, but God loves us anyway, and we are to share that love. We're expected to do this. Connie revealed what we should all reveal. by our reaction to Jesus Christ. You see, when we are revealed in Christ, we stand as bare can be. But if we regard Christ with love, even with wistful yearning, for there is hope, there's always hope. But if we in Christ see nothing attractive, nothing hopeful, nothing but the negative, we condemn ourselves. All these years I kept a mimeograph. Remember the old purple mimeograph? Huh? Sure. Connor, there used to be a thing called a... They were awful machines. But I kept one of his sermons, and it's still that old purple paper. It's turning brown and yellow now. You better believe it. But it was a memorable sermon because he used a poem by James Weldon Johnson, the black poet, about God's creation. And he read the poem, and then he added to it, because Weldon Johnson's poem, The Story of Creation, ends really with the Old Testament, and it ends rather bleakly. Connie wrote a continuation of that with the Spirit of Christ in Christ's birth, in Christ's ministry, and Christ's continuation. But anyhow, he wrote these closing words in that sermon. And there's an angel talking to God about sending his son to live with us like one of us. And Connie wrote, "And God said, I hope they'll love him." The angel said, "I hope they love him too." And God said, "They will. That I'm sure they will, for you see, love works like that. It cannot be smothered. One loving heart sets another on fire." So God sent his son in the fullness of time to show us the way and love us home. God sent his son to earth as a man. And that's how the last plan of God began. Amen. God, our Father, we're grateful that you choose people to influence our lives, and you choose us to influence and to share life with others. Bless our witness as you bless and strengthen the love you've given us in Jesus Christ. Amen.